The last days, last events, last test, the three angels' messages, those are the present truth. And I will continue on talking about this topic until God says, that's enough. But it will never be enough until probation closes. So, the title for this message is Controversy Over Two Sabbaths. Controversy Over Two Sabbaths. So, let's go on to what are the objectives for this message. The first one, that we all may keep the true Sabbath. That's the first objective. That everyone in the church, right here in this local church, and everyone, wherever they may be, watching in replay or live this message, that all we may keep the true Sabbath. Second purpose, avoid all human traditions that interfere with biblical doctrines. Third, that all we may walk in righteousness. Fourth, that all we may stand our ground, no matter the attack from the enemy. Fifth, at the end of this message, all will know which day is the true day of rest. If I were to survey the church to ask which day do you believe is the true day of rest, I believe that 99.99% would say, oh my God, let me beat myself. I am wrong. But 99% would say it is. 50% would say it is. Oh my, all right. But I know which day it is, and some people in the church have already said which day is the true day of rest. We are here in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. This is not a Catholic or Protestant church. We are supposed to know the truth regarding the true day of rest. And I believe it's too late not to know it. Six, at the end of this message, I hope all will make the firm determination that we will not transgress the law of God in the last great conflict between good and evil. And the last objective, at the end of this message, I hope we will all decide that we will follow Christ unto death. Let us pray. Dear Father, this is your time, the time to speak directly to your church through me. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to forgive our sins, those who would prevent us from hearing your voice. Open our eyes to see, our heart to understand. Give us your Holy Spirit to decide to practice no matter what. Bless everyone who will be watching, who is watching live or in replay. Save us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. The great controversy. You and I, brothers and sisters, are not ignorant that there is a great controversy going on since the inception of sin in the universe. Satan has lost his state in heaven because he was and still is the one causing and bringing this controversy in an atmosphere of love, peace, harmony, and joy. Unfortunately, he got a third of the angelic host to follow him in his rebellion against the Most High God. His design, according to Daniel 7, verse 25, is to enroll the human realm in his final struggle between good and evil. The text says, the text says, to change times and law. So the first of the last attempts of the devil is to dethrone God. How? By wearing out the saints of the Most High, trying to kill them. Those who love the Lord, who follow the Lord, who try to observe all his commandment, Satan will try, as he did for 1260 years, 538, 1798, in the time of the Dark Ages, Satan has used human agencies to destroy everyone who would not follow him, everyone who would not obey him, everyone who would not bow down before him. We have many events like that in the Bible. Esther. You remember Esther last time when we studied the past quarterly? Mordecai. Those two people were the main people that were the target of the enemy, and the enemy was Haman. Or Haman? Haman. And the consequences were very harsh on those who tried to kill God's children. Daniel, as I said in the lesson this morning, has been thrown where? In the lion's den. Why? Because Daniel was worshiping God. And why? Because among the three presidents, he was the first. Among the 120 princes, he was the first. And by jealousy, they wanted him to die. We also have the three young Hebrews, Ananias, Azariah, and Mishael. These three young men were captives, but because they refused to bow down before what? An image. What image? An image erected by whom? The king. What was his name? Nebuchadnezzar. These three young men, among a huge multitude of people, bowing down before the image of the beast. Three young captives decided not to bow down. And the consequence, was that they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Did they burn? No. Why? A fourth person was in the midst to protect them. And that fourth person, according to King Nebuchadnezzar, was like unto the Son of God. Satan has declared that he is the sole master of the earth. Jesus came to dispute that fraudulent claim. Satan offered Jesus the treasure of the earth so to consolidate his power over the earth. But Satan met with the firmest rebuke. Get thee then hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So brothers and sisters, the firmest rebuke that you can meet Satan with or any temptation is a Bible verse. Can you imagine a church member facing the last great struggle without knowing his Bible? Can you imagine being in the court because you decided to keep Saturday instead of Sunday? And then they ask you, what text do you find in the Bible asking people to observe Saturday instead of Sunday? And then you keep scratching your head. You keep scratching your neck. You don't even know one verse, one Bible verse to corroborate your idea that Saturday is the true day of rest. And I'm telling you, many church members will hit a big iceberg. If I were to ask you to recite with me the fourth commandment, would you be able to do it? Let's see if you can do that. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And in thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy man servant, nor thy maid servant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore? The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. This is a basic Bible verse concerning the Sabbath that every church member should memorize. Satan offered Jesus the treasure of the earth so to consolidate his power over the earth, but he met with the firmest rebuke, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God." Who shall we worship, brothers and sisters? Who shall we worship, brothers and sisters? The Lord our God. And him only shall we serve. This should be our pledge henceforth. Our pledge. You cannot talk about controversy and leave out the worship concept. This controversy will last to the end of the world. Once the end of this world comes, then one and one person only will be worshipped. The Creator. The one who has created everything, including you and I, you and me. There is no true worship without a reference to the seventh day, Saturday, Sabbath. Let me repeat myself. There is no true worship without reference to the seventh day, Saturday, Sabbath. That is why Satan has harassed Jesus Christ with all kinds of accusations, arguing that he did not keep the Sabbath. Which Sabbath were Jesus' accusers referenced to? When they said that Jesus did not keep the Sabbath, which one are they referencing to? Let me tell you, there are two Sabbaths in the Bible. You will understand what I'm talking about, but follow me closely. There are two Sabbaths referenced in the Bible. One that was created, sanctified, blessed at creation, by the Creator himself, Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3. And the other Sabbath is just a counterfeit of the true and genuine one. The true and genuine Sabbath was created from creation. This is the one that God has put aside for every human being to keep. And God has given ample examples of him keeping the Sabbath. Remember that Jesus Christ is the Creator. Jesus Christ has himself kept the Sabbath. And when he was here on earth, he did the same thing, that nobody would have any escape, any false excuse not to keep it holy. You call yourself Christian and you are keeping a different day? This counterfeit Sabbath was brought forth by the man of sin, the son of perdition, into the church. But the one behind that action is none other than the devil. The first Sabbath is not biblical, but is originated from a very dangerous interpretation of some biblical verses. I am just using two of them to make a point. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Please pick up your Bible and read with me 1 Corinthians, which is in the New Testament, not Chronicles. You go to the New Testament and you read with me 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we will read verses 1 and 2. This is one text used by Catholic Church and the Protestant churches to lie to people about the good reason why they keep Sunday as day of rest. Verse 1. What does it say? Now, let's read together, please. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches in Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Okay. We're going to break it down. First thing, collect the offerings the first day. Does it say the day of rest? Does it say the day of worship? It doesn't say that. It says collect the offerings the first day. And please, it doesn't say where, it doesn't say to collect the offerings in the church, but at home. Not in the church, but at home. And it says, don't wait until I come for you to gather them. Don't wait. Don't wait. That means, in preparation for Saturday Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, from the first day of the week, church members should start collecting, putting aside their offerings to the Lord. Do not wait until I come to gather them. Usually Jews gathered offerings on the Sabbath. But Paul said not to wait until he comes to do that. So the collection was not done as a collective or communal act of worship on Sunday. It should be individual. This is what we just read. He said, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let everyone, Not every all church members. And it says, of you lay by him in store, not in church. So when Catholic Church and Protestant churches are interpreting this text, they said, oh, it was the day that the disciples or the early Christians collected offerings. It doesn't say that it is a day of rest right here. It just said the first day. The only qualifier here is first. Whereas we just read, the Bible said in Genesis 2 verses 1 and 2, 1 to 3, that God has blessed the Sabbath. It is not so for Sunday. Upon the first day of the week, at home, individually, not in a time of worship or collectively. Upon examining this text, there is no reference to the Sabbath, the day, the first day of the week, or rest day, or worship day, or there is no indication of a change whatsoever in the Sabbath law of the Ten Commandments. However, billions keep Sunday, which is the first day of the week, as if there was an amendment to the law of God. Please, this lie is being preached in Protestant churches, in Catholic church, almost every time they want to crush the day that bears the seal and signature of the Creator. Every time that they want to bash Seventh-day Adventists, they use text in the Bible to say that Saturday is okay, is the day of worship, but for the Jews, Christian day of worship, according to them, is Sunday. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Revelation 19, 12, verses 9 and 10. Revelation 12, verses 9 and 10 says, I, John, okay, because there will be something else. There will be something else. They will give you Revelation 1, where John said, I was in the Spirit, the day of the Lord, or the Lord's day. Okay. But let's read Revelation 12, verse 9 and 10. Because they believe the Lord's day is Sunday. Nowhere in the Bible, one more time, is Sunday has been called what? The Lord's day. Nowhere. Okay. Revelation 12, verse 9 and verses 9 and 10. I, John, who also am. No. Revelation 1. Revelation 1. I'm sorry. Revelation 1. Okay. Revelation 1. All right. I put 12. That was a mistake. That's exactly what I was looking for. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So can somebody tell me safely that this day here is Saturday or Sunday? Reading carefully this text, none can safely argue that the Lord's day is either Sunday or Saturday. Okay, are you with me? However, other places in the Bible will inform you about which of the two John was referring to. The text itself does not say either it's Sunday or Saturday. Actually, it cannot be Sunday, because Sunday has never been called the Lord's Day. How about Saturday? First thing to tell you is that John was a Jew. Both by tradition and religious faith, John was also a devoted Jew, always keeping not Sunday as their rest, but Saturday. None, even the Pope, cannot deny that. John would not just decide 1 second to say that the Lord's Day is Sunday. John was a Jew. Don't forget it one more time. And usually, Jews kept Saturday. Even now, those who do not even believe that Jesus Christ is God, is the Messiah, they're still keeping Saturday as day of rest. Now they have some compromise made between them and the Pope and Catholic Church. They keep observing Sunday now. Some of them are keeping Sunday as day of rest. If you go to Israel, you will find a lot of people doing that. John was the last surviving disciple of Jesus Christ. If there were any change made by God regarding the day of rest, I am 100% sure Jesus would inform John about it. And John would declare it before or right here in this text. But we find no traces of this change here. So how does the Catholic Church come with Sunday as the Lord's Day? How does this text has been wrongly interpreted in the Bible? Revelation 1 verses 9 and 10. They call it the Lord's Day because they argue that Jesus rose from the dead in that day. Is that sufficient to say that it's the Lord's Day because Jesus rose that day? Is it clear here? That's why Catholic Church and Protestant churches alike are called confusion. If you're not saying confusion, what is synonymous of confusion? Babylon, in a spiritual language. Babylon is confused and it is confusing people. But at the resurrection, Jesus did make the determination that henceforth, the new day of worship is Sunday, not Saturday. Did Jesus do that? No. Once he got resurrected, he would say that. Why did Jesus would leave that determination into the hands of ill-intentioned people? Wicked people. The first day of the week, the end of the Sabbath. Let's go to Matthew 28, verse 1. Let's go to Matthew 28, verse 1. Please, let's go with me. Matthew 28, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, think with me once we read this text. Matthew 21, verse 1. 28, please. Verse 1. What does it say? In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see what? The sepulchre. Which sepulchre is Matthew referring to? The sepulchre where Jesus Christ was buried. So the two Marys came to see the sepulchre. Which day? On Sunday. And the Bible said exactly when the first day comes. In the end of the Sabbath. So if you want to know which day is the Sabbath day, just read verse 1 of Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day, that means the first day of the week was coming up. Please stick with me. Don't we see a clear distinction between the Sabbath and the first day of the week right here in this text? It is clear right here. And let's read Matthew 27, verses 62 and 63 to make the thing plainer. We need to know now that tomorrow we won't make any mistakes regarding which day should we keep. Do not allow people to lie to you. And I'm talking to you, friends who are online watching me live or in replay. Matthew 27, verses 62, 63, it says, "Now for the next day." Follow me closely. "For the next day that followed the day of the preparation." The day that followed the day of preparation. Which day is that? Saturday. So which day is the day of preparation? Friday. Okay. "Now for the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate." Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What day did the Pharisee and priests go to Pilate to talk to him? Saturday. Follow me closely. Priests and Pharisees quit their church, their synagogue, their temple, to do business with the king of the earth, which is Pilate. To do what? A job that should never be done on Saturday. Usually Saturday, we do not organize any funeral. Seventh-day Adventists do not organize any funeral on the Sabbath. I said organize. All right. So these men, Pharisees and priests, went to Pilate for what reason? Saying, "Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.'" Okay. In this text, we see clearly that the leadership of the church back then did not keep the Sabbath. They disobeyed the law of the Sabbath. Verse 66 said something. "So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." Is it the day to go to the tomb, to put things on it, to put a watch, to watch the sepulchre and to seal it? Is it that? If Jesus did something like that, Jesus would be stoned immediately. So these men had their own Sabbath, and Jesus had his own Sabbath. So keeping Sunday as day of rest now, even though back in the day it was not Sunday, but it's the same spirit. The Jews had the same spirit that the nowadays Pharisees, Catholic and Protestant alike, along with some Seventh-day Adventists, they are so hypocrite. Let's go. We all, even those who are against the holy Sabbath of the Lord, will recognize in these verses that, one, the Jews, though they were accusing Jesus of not keeping the Sabbath, they themselves did not keep it. This is very clear in here. Second, however, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and Jesus were keeping the true Sabbath in the same moment. Because Mary Magdalene and the other Mary did not go to the tomb on Saturday to do what? To anoint what? The body of Jesus Christ. That would probably not be a sin if they did, but understanding the law of the fourth commandment, they have decided to stay home until when? Sunday, the first day of the week. And at the same time, Jesus rested where? In the tomb. When? On the Sabbath. So the true keeper of the Sabbath, the true keepers of the Sabbath, were the ladies and Jesus, and the first keepers of the Sabbath were the Pharisees and the priests. Two Sabbaths. Jesus Christ was multiple times accused by the Jews, the hypocrite Pharisees, of not keeping the Sabbath. I'm not sure whose Sabbath they were referring to. It seems that they were referring to their own Sabbath, the one that they called Moses' Sabbath. After performing a miracle on the seventh day Sabbath, that of making a blind man from he was blind from birth, and Jesus made him see. Let's read that in John 9 verse 15. John 9 verse 15. John 9 verse 16 says, "Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see." Okay. Verse 16. "Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man," talking about Jesus, "is not of God." Why? Why did they say that Jesus was not of God? Because Jesus healed the blind man. When was that? On the Sabbath. On the Sabbath. And they said that Jesus Christ was not keeping the Sabbath. So if you think about it, you see, there are two Sabbaths here. "Because he keepeth not the Sabbath," others said, "how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. That division should be anywhere in the world. Anywhere people are keeping Sunday as day of rest or any other day, there should be a division among them. We should get in and divide them, that so many of them who would accept Christ as their personal savior, would give their lives to Christ, would keep the Sabbath. That's why Jesus came down from heaven to dispute the claim, the fraudulent claim that Satan made that the earth belonged to him. Notice, brethren, that through the Pharisees, though the Pharisees contended with Jesus over the Sabbath, they seemed not knowing who they were talking with and whose Sabbath they were referring to. It appears they accused Jesus of not keeping their Sabbath, which is very fine. There is absolutely no problem for Jesus not keeping their Sabbath. But if you go to John and Matthew 12 verse 8, Matthew 12 verse 8, Jesus explained to the Jews, the Pharisees particularly, that he is the master of the Sabbath. "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now let me ask you a question. What day was that? What day was that? Please. No, don't tell me it's the Sabbath. Tell me another. Sabbath is not a day. Saturday. It was Saturday. So if we were to say the Lord's Day, which day would we call the Lord's Day? Saturday. Jesus himself said it. For the Son of Man is Lord. Lord's Day. Of the Sabbath day. So do not allow people to deceive you into taking that Sunday is the Lord's Day. In even in Haiti, there is a Bible they translated from French into Creole, which is one of the official languages in Haiti. They don't put the Lord's Day, they put Sunday. The Bible said the Lord's Day, but it's not Sunday, it's Saturday. The Saturday Sabbath. That's why when we talk about Sabbath, don't say just Sabbath, say Saturday Sabbath to differentiate between our Sabbath, the Sabbath that Jesus created, the Sabbath that Jesus observed, because otherwise we will confound it between ours, God's Sabbath, and theirs, which is Sunday. Jesus rightfully accused the Jews, the Pharisees, of not keeping the law of Moses and also the law of God. Let's go to John 7 verse 19. John 7 verse 19. It says, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Ha ha. Ha ha. Jesus told them, none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me? Now they will be mad. They will be mad. Verse 20. The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who has that devil? Jesus or you? Who goeth? They say, who goeth after you to kill you? Who goeth about to kill you? They know that they are trying to kill Jesus Christ, but they don't want to admit it. And what happens? Few months after, they killed Jesus Christ. John 7, verses 21, 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. The fathers are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. Ha ha! There was no obligation to circumcise a man on the Sabbath. You are not keeping the law of the... Have you ever heard that? Jesus accused them of not keeping the Sabbath. This is his Sabbath. Don't forget, Jesus is the creator. So, the same controversy will exist between us Seventh-day Adventists keeping the true Sabbath and Babylon. When Babylon will fall in a very near future, Babylon will fall, Revelation 14, verse 8. Babylon will fall. There will be accusations of us Seventh-day Adventists not keeping their Sunday Sabbath. We accuse them using the Bible. They accuse us using traditions, human traditions. At that time, the Pharisees did not yet transgress the Sabbath by going to Pilate for to give them the right of putting guards by Jesus' tomb to prevent his disciples to rob him by night. At least this is the second instance when we see that the hypocrite did not themselves keep the Sabbath. If a man, verse 23, if a man on the Sabbath they receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Are ye angry at me because I have made a man every weight whole on the Sabbath day? Let's go to verse 17 on John, 16 on John. But back in the day, back in the time of Jesus, Jesus broke the Jews' Sabbath. It was not a different day, but different application of the law of God. Jesus established their own tradition. Jews established their own traditions around the Sabbath to make it hard for believers to keep it. Jesus came to fight against that and break human tradition. John 7 verse 6, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." So the doctrine of Jesus Christ comes from God, and their doctrine comes from the devil. "Howbeit, in vain do they worship me." Mark 7 verses 7 and 8. "Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And he said unto them, "Fool, where ye reject the commandments of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." Let us go faster. Today, Catholic Church and the Protestant churches keep a day of worship, which is the counterfeit of the true Sabbath, God's Sabbath. The Catholic Church herself said that they are the ones changing the Sabbath of God into their own Sabbath. They said that. Last night, I go to Catholic.com. Catholic.com in a QA session prepared by Peggy Fry. This is one question they ask. He asked the person, "Until recently, I always thought Catholics worshipped on the Sabbath, and that the early church moved the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Is this true?" Are you listening? This is the answer. This is a common misunderstanding. Catholics do not worship on the Sabbath, which, according to the Jewish law, is the last day of the week, Saturday. It is not me saying it. They themselves are answering that question. When God rested from all the work he had done in creation, Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3, Catholics worship on the Lord's Day. Ha! But they don't even know which day is the Lord's Day. Catholics worship on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, Sunday. They call it also the eighth day. So Sunday is the first day of the week and also the eighth day of the week. And none of us have ever seen a calendar where a week has 8 days. But they put it the first and the last. The first and the eighth. The day when Christ rose from the dead was what? The first day of the week, but not the day of rest. The day when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, day of the Pentecost. The catechism of the Catholic Church says, I'm still quoting. The catechism of the Catholic Church says, the church celebrates the day of Christ's resurrection on the eighth day, Sunday, which is rightly called the Lord's Day. They themselves say that. And they continue. The early church did not move the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Instead, the Sabbath, which represented the completion of the first creation, has been replaced by Sunday, which recalls the new creation inaugurated by the resurrection of Christ. Nowhere in the Bible is found such heresy. Sunday is the day Catholics are bound to keep, not Saturday. So I don't know how Protestants are keeping Sunday as day of rest, arguing that it is in the Bible. It is Catholic Church bringing into Christianity Sunday as day of rest, and Sunday becomes, by default, the mark of the beast. mark of the beast. And we know that anyone who has the mark of the beast will incur what? The wrath of God. Poured out with that mixture. No mercy, no compassion, no long-suffering anymore, any longer. The Sunday celebration of the Lord's, I'm still quoting from Catholic Catechism. The Sunday celebration of the Lord's Day and His Eucharist is at the heart of the church's life. Sunday is the day on which the Paschal mystery is celebrated in light of the apostolic tradition and is to be observed as the foremost holy day of obligation in the universal church. I'm rushing to finish. Just as God, this is blasphemy. Just as God rested on the seventh day from all his work which he has done, human life has a rhythm of work and rest. The institution of the Lord's Day, Sunday, helps everyone enjoy adequate rest and leisure to cultivate their familial, cultural, social, and religious life. Okay, now I have other quotes, but I'm going to skip them to go here. Brothers and sisters, so the Lord's Day will constitute a serious problem to everyone on the earth very soon. It will be illegal to keep Saturday as day of rest. It will be globally legal to observe Sunday as day of rest. We need to get ready for that. The Catholic Church says that Sunday is the universal day of rest. There is a choice to make. Which one we choose? If thou turn away thy foot, say Isaiah, from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, not Sunday, seventh-day Sabbath, Saturday, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. On Saturday, you don't do whatever you want to do. You cannot do it. And the dragon, Revelation 12, verse 17 says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. Last time I've got a Bible study with some folks convinced that the Sabbath is the true day of rest, one told me, is it safe to keep Sunday and Saturday all together at the same time? Let me return that question to you. Is it safe? Is it okay for us to keep Saturday and Sunday? Because we cannot serve two masters together. It is impossible. There is no neutrality with God. It is either you are with him 100% or you are with them 100%. Jesus said, thou shalt serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your soul. All 100%. We cannot keep Sunday and Saturday together. It is impossible. And actually, those who do that are the most dangerous people. Because you cannot rely on them. You cannot know who they will serve in time of danger. You may confide in them, and then when danger comes, they are the first to betray you. Please, brothers and sisters, you who are following online, not because you have a friend who is evangelical, or your son, your daughter, or whatever, whoever that person is, your boss that tells you if you do not keep Sunday, you will be fired or you will have some problem. Do not, please, keep Saturday and Sunday all together. They do not walk hand in hand. They too, the two ends of the week, they do not meet. One is Saturday, one is Sunday. They do not meet. It is impossible. So it is impossible for us to keep Saturday and Sunday. To finish this message. Brothers and sisters, Jesus said, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Question to ask you. Do you feel that the purposes of this message have been met? The objectives of this message. Do you believe that Saturday is the only day of rest? Do you make the firm determination that whatever happens, you will keep Saturday? Do you accept that even if you happen to die for Christ, you will keep Saturday? If so, I'm not going to ask you to stand up to pray. Reconsecrate your life to Christ. He will guide you. He will protect you. And finally, you will inherit the kingdom. God bless you. Yes, God, you are a great God.
Yes.
A God that has compassion over his children. That's why you sent us a great message to prepare us for what will soon break on the earth, on the church. We don't want to get into the overwhelming surprise. That's why you are preparing us, every one of us. I pray that you would send us home safely and that we would have a good Saturday afternoon. Forgive our sins. Bless us all. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.